from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry discusses renewable energy investment with U.S. Assistant Secretary. Ambassador Ade Padmosarwono affirms conditions of Indonesian citizens in Jordan is safe despite being close to the West Bank. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry (KADIN) met with the Assistant Secretary of the United States Treasury, Alexia Laturtu, in Jakarta on Thursday to discuss green investment opportunities and challenges in the new renewable energy EBT sector in Indonesia. Quoted by Antara, Deputy Chairperson for Maritime Affairs, Investment and Foreign Affairs of KADIN Indonesia, Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, during the meeting said that Indonesia is a country that has a total potential for renewable energy resources of 3.686 gigawatt, but only 12.54 megawatts have been utilized. Indonesia was the largest recipient of green investment in Southeast Asia last year. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Working Group Energy Transition of KADIN Indonesia, Anthony Utomo, stated that investment from the United States proved that Indonesia has promising investment potential in the EBT sector. Indonesian Ambassador to Jordan, accredited to Palestine, Ade Padmosarwono, said the condition of Indonesian citizens in Jordan is still safe and does not experience direct impact from Israeli aggression in Palestine. This was told to Antara after the business seminar and exhibition of Indonesian Products 2024 in Amman, Jordan on Thursday. Ade said despite being directly adjacent to the Palestinian West Bank and Israel, conditions in Jordan are still quite safe because Jordan is one of the most stable countries. However, the Indonesian embassy in Amman has taken preparatory steps for the protection of Indonesian citizens in the country. Ambassador Ade also said that there was no appeal to leave the country as long as Jordan's security conditions were still possible. Currently, there are around 1,500 Indonesian citizens in Jordan, almost half of whom are students. The Ministry of Agriculture and the Navy built synergies in accelerating food security from the dangers of extreme climate change that can cause a food crisis. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman, in his statement on Thursday, said that his site has been food land owned by the Navy at the main base of the Navy Lampung. He also explained the synergy is carried out by activating unused land into productive land, as well as empowering the surrounding community in a bid to improve the welfare of the community and food supply. The Minister of Agriculture provides assistance in the form of agricultural machinery and seeds. Meanwhile, Deputy Chief of Staff of the Navy, Vice Admiral TNI Erwin S. Aldedarma, said that the synergy with the Ministry of Agriculture is a form of the Navy's commitment to upholding state sovereignty and security, as well as increasing food security, which is the main program of the current and future government. The Indonesian Navy Marine Corps and the United States Marine Corps, USMC, conducted an air mobile exercise at the United States Marine Base in Hawaii in a series of a joint exercise Rim of Pacific LATMA RIMPAC 2024. The exercise took place from June 27 to August 2 and was attended by soldiers from 29 countries. Quoted by Antara, the official broadcast of the Navy Marine Corps Thursday said, in the exercise, Indonesian and U.S. Marine trained their ability to move quickly by using aircraft and helicopters. Marine Unit Commander LATMA RIMPAC 2024 Marine Major Lukman Susanto explained that the exercise tested the soldiers' ability to move quickly, quietly, and precisely, all of which are useful in the task of infiltrating the target area and then directly engaging in ground combat. Some of the stages that the air mobile exercise participants went through included the loading phase, the air transfer phase, the landing phase, and the target competition phase. Let's move it on to the international news, where ASEAN Secretary General Cao Kim Horn highlighted the importance of maintaining interfaith and cross-cultural harmony by strengthening digital literacy and the ability to think critically amid the large flow of information. The statement was made at the International Conference on Cross-Cultural Religious Literacy, quoted by Antara. The conference was held by the Lei Mena Institute in Jakarta on Thursday. Cao Kim Horn also highlighted the importance of dealing with religious prejudice, hate speech, and protecting religious minorities. Therefore, he viewed that social media managers must do more to curb hate speech, one of which is by strengthening content moderation. Cao also emphasized the importance of the role of interfaith and cross-cultural dialogue to build an understanding of religious and cultural diversity, especially in the context of Southeast Asia. He believes that future generations can live with mutual respect, one of which is by implementing a curriculum that pays more attention to diversity. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said on Thursday that the possibility of a direct conflict between Russia and NATO is at an alarming stage. Quoted by AFP from Anadolu, President Erdogan's comments came as NATO leaders gathered in Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the military patch, United States, to mark the 75th anniversary of the military patch. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Thursday that the possibility of a direct conflict between Russia and NATO is at an alarming stage. Quoted by AFP from Anadolu, President Erdogan's comments came as NATO leaders gathered in Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the military patch. His opinion also came after NATO announced that it had begun delivering F-16 jets to Ukraine and confirmed promises to Ukraine regarding membership in the alliance. President Erdogan also emphasized that any steps that could lead to this conflict should be avoided. Meanwhile, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Russia was planning a response to contain the threat from the alliance. Turkey, a NATO member, has been trying to balance relations between its two Black Sea neighbors, Russia and Ukraine, since war began in 2022. The Ukrainian government plans to recruit about 15,000 prisoners into the country's armed forces under a new mobilization law that has just been signed. Ukraine's Justice Minister Denis Malyuska was quoted as saying by Sputnik on Thursday, the law tightening Ukraine's mobilization rules came into force on May 18 to replenish Ukraine's forces depleted by more than 2 years of armed conflict with Russia. The law requires all Ukrainian citizens who are conscripted to report to the registration office within 16 days of the law enactment. Malyuska also said that initial efforts are expected to yield around 5,000 prospective soldiers, and under the best condition, this number could triple. The first group of released prisoners is already undergoing military training and is expected to be deployed by the end of the summer. Listener, let's move on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Commentary today is on Spain rejects Western double standards on conflict in Gaza. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez on Wednesday, July the 11th, urged the West to reject double standards in responding to the conflict in Gaza. He expressed this at the North Atlantic Treaty Organization NATO summit in Washington, United States. At NATO's 75th anniversary summit in Washington, Pedro Sanchez called for NATO to unite and maintain equal respect for international law in Ukraine and Gaza, and that there is no double standard in either situation. Pedro Sanchez in his speech asked the West to be consistent in implementing international law. If international law is required, ulang, if international law is required to be respected in Ukraine, then the same must apply in Gaza. Sanchez reminded that NATO always emphasizes that its strength lies in unity, and in a globalized world, this unity must be accompanied by consistency. Otherwise, he believes NATO could be accused of applying double standards that would undermine support for Ukraine. Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar also expressed strong criticism of the double standards of the West. As early as on November 19, 2023, Leo Varadkar said the European Union and Western countries were treating the Israeli-Palestinian issue with double standards. He expressed this criticism after thousands of Irish citizens demonstrated in support of the Palestinian people in front of the Irish Ministry of Foreign Affairs building. The outspoken criticism expressed against double standards in dealing with the Israeli and Palestinian issues needs to be heeded by leaders of other Western countries, including the European Union and the United States, because the double standards applied by Western countries are the root of the ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine. This double standard policy is clear evidence of unfair behavior on the part of the West in dealing with the protracted Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has resulted in tens of thousands of civilian deaths and destructions in Gaza. The source of protracted conflict is actually injustice. If peace is to be established, then justice must be enforced first. The West must impose sanctions on Israel, which has committed acts of genocide in Gaza, and prevent it from continuing, as stated by the International Court of Justice some time ago. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with July 12, 1947, when the first Indonesian Cooperative Congress occurred. After Indonesia's independence in 1945, the Cooperative Congress was held for the first time in Tasikmalaya, West Java, on July 12, 1947. It was initiated by Muhammad Hatta, the first Vice President of Indonesia, who was later dubbed the father of Indonesian cooperatives. The Congress designated July 12 as Cooperative Day and formed the Central People's Cooperative Organization, which was based in Tasikmalaya. Since then, July 12 has been commemorated as Cooperative Day in Indonesia. Let's move on to July 12, 1961, when the Panchayat Dam in India break. The Panchayat Dam is located near Pune City, Maharashtra, India. This dam was built in the late 1950s. The Panchayat Dam burst on the morning of July 12, 1961, after a warning the day before and caused flash flood in Pune. At that time, the Panchayat Dam was not reinforced with cement concrete at all, but plain concrete without reinforcement due to a lack of steel. As a result of this incident, approximately 1,000 people lost their lives. I'll end today in history with July 12, 1975, when the National Monument in Jakarta inaugurated. The National Monument, or what is popularly called Monas, is 132-meter-high memorial in the center of Jakarta, Indonesia. It was established to commemorate the resistance and struggle of the Indonesian people to gain independence. The construction of the National Monument began on August 17, 1961, under the direction of First President Sukarno, but was hampered by Indonesian political turmoil in 1965. The new National Monument was inaugurated on July 12, 1975, by President Sukarno.
Without you, and I want you to know.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Gresik and its tourism and creative economy potential. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno said Gresik has a diverse tourism and creative economy potential. That potential should be developed and strengthened. Therefore, Sandiaga invited the creative community in Gresik East Java to strengthen collaboration in developing the tourism and creative economy potential in their region. That was stated by the minister during the Diskusi Bareng Komunitas di Batas Gresik, virtually on Wednesday. Sandiaga said with the spirit of innovation, adaption, and collaboration, he believed that the communities in Gresik could increase revenue by attracting more tourist visits. He said Gresik has Bandar Gresi, pilgrimage, tourism to Wali Songo cemeteries, and other tourism potential to be optimized. Sandiaga put emphasis on the need for a strong collaboration to develop that potential. According to him, one of right efforts to attract tourist visits to Gresik is to hold various event and meeting, incentive, convention, and exhibition activities. Sandiaga Uno said that the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy had prepared various supporting programs to optimize tourism and creative economy potential, such as Bedakan or Packaging Design Workshop, Indonesian Creation Appreciation or AKI, Creative Regency or City in Kata, Tourism Village Development, and other programs expected to be right on target, on benefit, and on time for the people. According to Sandiaga, when it comes to community, he is ready to facilitate the continuity of collaboration between communities. Then it is the community's decision to continue the develop momentum. Meanwhile, Second Assistant of Gresik Region, Ms. Bahul Munir, hoped the program initiated by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy can be developed in their region to trigger Gresik tourism and creative economy potential in the future. That was My Indonesia.
Pantai terbentang luas, seluas harapan.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, West Nusa Tenggara has some beautiful beaches. One of them is Lariti Beach. This beach is quite unique because it has a split sea phenomenon. This split sea is formed due to receding sea water, so that land appears connecting the east side of Lariti Beach with a small island opposite, namely Paliman Island. Lariti Beach is located in Soro Village, Lambu District, Bima Regency. From the center of Bima City, the distance is 48 kilometers and it takes an hour and 26 minutes to drive. The land that divides the sea at Lariti Beach is 150 meters long and 7 meters wide. You can pass through the split sea at certain hours, such as 10 to 15:30 Central Indonesian time. Besides enjoying the sensation of a split sea, on this beach you can also play on the white sand or feel the blue Lariti Sea water by swimming. The sea waves are quite calm, making it safe to swim on this beach. The scenery on this beach is also very beautiful, especially at sunset and sunrise. So please don't miss it to capture its natural beauty. Listener, Lariti Beach is open every day for 24 hours. To travel there, you must pay an entrance ticket fee of 5,000 rupiah or less than $1. Lariti Beach is equipped with various facilities, such as parking lots, food stalls, gazebos, bathrooms, and seats. For those of you who want to spend the night here, you can camp at the camping ground. That's Indonesian Wonder.
listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, the government of Sika East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia is going to hold again Festival Jelajah Maumere or Explore Maumere Festival on September 12 to the 14, 2024. For the second edition, it will be themed Dewa Detnaruk Utan Petan Beli Atta Vian Sawe or Greeting the World with Sika Tenun. Maumere Festival aims to promote Sika tourism to the world. The Explore Maumere Festival is expected to attract the locals and tourists to visit and enjoy various top tourism destinations in Sika, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara. Chair Committee of Explore Maumere Festival 2024, Ferdinand E. Edomeko, said the activity has various activities such as cultural parade, arts and cultural performance, local and national music performance, as well as fashion culture Sika parade. Besides, the event also showcases micro, small, medium businesses, traditional technology, as well tourism and cultural books. Then there was also a fashion show competition, flute performance, and storytelling competition about Sika Tenun or woven cloth. Listener, as the name suggests, Explore Maumere Festival 2024 will explore a number of top, unique, and interesting tourist locations. Acting Sika Regional Secretary Margareta Mofaldes Damagabapa said, Sika Regency has extraordinary resource potential for development. Therefore, it is hoped that the 2024 Maumere Exploration Festival will not only become an annual cultural event, but also significantly increase the tourism and economic potential of Sika Regency. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, on this edition of Music Corner, I'm about to play a song from Maluku. It's called Nyong Timur. The song, written by Juan Reza, Jackson Zeran, and Oncho, received its popularity after being sung by Gihon Marel featuring a young talented rapper, Jackson Zeran. Nyong Timur, which means Eastern Youth, has been viewed by more than 1.2 million viewers since it was posted on the Gihon Marel YouTube channel on June 20, 2024. The lyrics describe the Eastern Indonesian people's charm, their physical characteristics, and loyalty. This song depicts how sweet the smile of the people of Maluku, Sulawesi, East Nusa Tenggara, and Papua is. This makes people fall in love. Alright, listeners, this is Nyong Timur from Maluku, sung by Gihon Marel and Jackson Zeran. Enjoy listening to this song!
Of Indonesia.
mimpi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hey guys.
This is just you can't stop.
This will be the Sonic. This albums. Is coming out May 6th.
May 6th?
Yeah.
Hey. Wow.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the light. When you dance, 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 feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, 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 come on.
Ooh, it's something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop, stop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.